so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing right now, whether you're in the shower, walking the dog, out for a run, working with the video tab playing in the background, streaming this to your TV, whether you're doing that through YouTube or through your podcast app, thank you very much for doing so. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. And I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is available everywhere books are sold, and signed copies on my website, johncorrales.com. Today, it's a mailbag day. Happy Friday. I think the Friday during the offseason is going to be a regular mailbag thing. So watch out for that. I'll tweet it out, or I'll give you ways to ask your questions. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. And at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. We have a lot of questions, and I've broken them up into kind of tiers, similar questions. So let's get right to it, because there's a lot to get to. Claudine asks, I'm not sold on the need for a third star, though Rob may be just that, but I am concerned with the quality of players not named Jalen or Jason. We do not have a Crowder, Pat Connaughton, or Reddish. Can we get any of these guys? What about Austin Rivers? Well, I don't think Austin Rivers, first of all, he's okay, but flawed. A lot of these guys are okay, but flawed. I'd love to have Crowder, but I don't know what Crowder is going to do. He's, you know, he might stay in Phoenix. I don't know what his plan is going to be. I don't think the Celtics are going to be able to get him, because they only have the taxpayer mid-level to spend, which is less than $6 million. So that's going to be tough. Cam Reddish is under contract. That's not going to happen. Pat Connaughton, maybe. And I've seen people on Twitter say, hey, I'd love Pat Connaughton. I look at Pat Connaughton out there, and yeah, he works hard, and he makes some real high-effort type of plays. But there are many times during a game where I say, what's he doing out there? And I think if he played on the team, you might yourself say, oh, I didn't realize we got all of this when you signed Pat Connaughton. So they do need to raise their quality of their bench. But how do they do that? It's not going to be by signing any of these guys. It's going to be by getting, and I'll answer more questions about Aaron Nesmith and Romeo Langford, but getting more out of those guys, getting more out of Grant Williams, or flipping those guys midseason for something better. It's going to be by maybe re-signing Evan Fournier, using that traded player exception, those tools. I don't think that they're going to be able to get any of the people named here. Barry, at Magnus underscore Barry. Does Bradley Beal really fill the Celtics' biggest need, or is the speculation because he's close with JT? Great scorer, but not much of a defender or ball mover. Shouldn't we focus on a big guy third star to help the Jays? Well, here's the problem with a big guy third star. Which big guy third star is it going to be? Because there aren't many. Who are the Celtics going to get? Who are they going to trade for? Are you looking for, Rudy Gobert? What big guy third star is there? There aren't many. And that's part of why the big guys are said to be kind of almost disposable in a lot of ways. I think big guys are more likely to be journeymen, and they can fill roles, but the guys who are really good in those roles, like we just saw DeAndre Ayton, Nikola Jokic. Maybe they get Nikola Jokic in free agency in a couple years. That would be great. But short of Jokic, who is the most unique big man that we've seen in a long, long time, because he can basically be your point guard and you play off of him, like, yeah, if the Celtics can get Jokic, I'd prefer Jokic over Bradley Beal. He's also the MVP. So yeah, of course I'd prefer Jokic over Bradley Beal. Why do we focus on Bradley Beal? Well, yeah, he's close to Jason Tatum. Also, he's most likely available. So that has something to do with it. And you can make it work with those three guys, I think. I mean, he could even play somewhat of a point guard. You can kind of play him and Brown and Tatum as your three point guards and work off of one another. And I think that could work. Your three stars can figure it out. When those three guys are as good as those three are, I think you can figure it out. If they can get Bradley Beal without giving up Jaylen Brown, that is something that you do, I think. And even if there's you get another point guard, just a plug-and-play, cheap point guard to just run things and bring the ball up and pass it and then go and do nothing after that, then fine. And your big can be handled by Robert Williams or even Moses Brown. Maybe he can ascend to a decent role player with those three. So I think that there's, when you've got that level of talent, you can make it work. J-Town says, would you rather have Smart, Fournier, Horford, and Rob or Beal, assuming you'd have to part with them to sign him? If it costs the Celtics Smart, Fournier, Al Horford, and Robert Williams, I think that's something that people would sign up for. That if that's what it meant to get Bradley Beal, and you got Bradley Beal on the team with Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and those three guys suddenly are out there basically running, like, that could be the most up-tempo team we've seen. Like, those guys can be dominant. And then in the half court, any one of those guys can score. Yeah, you deal with it. And if you give up Rob, I'm sorry, I'd love Rob, but you do it. Smart, Fournier, Horford, I'm not saying that that's a deal that the Washington Wizards would take, but in this scenario, in this question, I would rather, and I love those guys, but I think getting Beal, if that's the package, then you do it and you figure the rest out. You can figure the rest out because veterans will want to come play with those guys. And I think it'd be a lot easier to fill in the blanks around them than you think. At JAE_Rody2VA, is Brad Stevens' new position with the franchise a lock? If so, what type of season do you think it would take for his job security to be questioned? Well, let me answer the first question. I mean, it's as much of a lock as anybody's job is in the NBA, which is to say somewhat of a lock, but except for Greg Popovich, I'm probably run down the list of guys, Sam Presti, who else? Probably like Steve Kerr. It's a handful of guys just thinking off the top of my head that whose jobs would be like a solid lock, like nothing could go wrong that would get this guy fired. But everyone else is sort of, hey, your job's safe for the most part. It's the league. It's the pros. It's everybody's job is on the line at some level. So is Brad Stevens' job a lock? Not as much as Greg Popovich's job is a lock, but I'd say it's pretty safe. And for his job security to be questioned, I mean, at this point, you'd have to have everything go wrong. But I think so far, the Kemba deal seems like a pretty good deal. He hired Ime Udoka, who everybody is really on board with. That's a good start. I mean, unless Udoka completely flops as a coach and loses the team right away somehow and pulls a Nate Bjorkgren, which I don't think would happen, but I suppose it's still possible he hasn't coached the game yet. I mean, something like that could cost Brad his job, I suppose. If every signing that he makes falls flat, that could cost Brad his job. But I feel pretty comfortable with Brad Stevens in this spot right now. Going to be back to answer a whole lot more questions, including the Romeo, Aaron Nesmith, bench guy questions. That's coming up after I tell you about Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whatever you want to bet on, it's there at Bet Online, including international sports. So Head on over, use your laptop, use your mobile device, sign up for free, and create your username, create your password, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So create your profile, drop in however many dollars you want, 200, then you get a $100 welcome bonus. That's how the 50% welcome bonus works with the promo code LOCKEDON. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the game with BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA finals coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this postseason. I am recording this after the Phoenix Suns beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Suns just seem to have an answer for everything the Milwaukee Bucks have to offer. And it's, you know, they took care of business. Giannis was awesome, but still that knee, I still don't think he's 100% sure about that knee. It's going to be very interesting. Drew Holiday continues to be a problem, and it's just, it's unfortunate to watch Drew Holiday basically put up Eric Bledsoe numbers because he's a much better player than that. And it sucks. But Suns up 2-0. So very interested to see what happens on Sunday when game three happens in Milwaukee. Back to the questions. Mike Lyons says, do you see the Time Lord becoming a bigger piece moving forward for the Celtics with the arrival of Al, or will he mostly be a rotational player? I think Rob's potential is very high, especially with the development of a jump shot and guidance from Iman Al. I believe that he's going to be the starter. I think the Celtics play their best when Robert Williams is on the floor starting. And now maybe that changes. Maybe that changes with Al Horford. Maybe Al plays a short stint to start and Robert Williams comes in for a longer stint off the bench and finishes the game. Maybe. But I personally, just looking at last season, I thought the Celtics were really good with Robert Williams on the floor, and there's no reason to get away from that. But we'll see what the training camp brings. I also think Rob's potential is very high, and I don't know if he's going to really get that jump shot down, but if he can hit that 15-footer, great. I think that I don't think the Celtics are going to be too eager to do too much with Al Horford because he's got the knee issue and he's a little older. So don't push it. Don't start him and then have to adjust when he doesn't play in a back-to-back. Start Robert Williams. And if Al Horford doesn't play in a back-to-back, that's fine. You're just shifting your bench rotation, but don't start a guy that you know is going to miss time. Start the guy that you hope isn't going to miss time, because we know that Robert Williams has been dealing with injuries. But I think what Al Horford can do is maybe take some of the load off for Robert Williams. And so you start Rob, Horford can handle enough, and there's no real drop-off because they both can do the same things, with the exception that Al can hit the three and Robert Williams can't. But start Rob, hopefully he stays healthy, and you get more consistency, and you deal with Al Horford not playing in a back-to-back, if that remains the case. And it just makes more sense consistency-wise. At GF Morris, what are Romeo Langford's floor and ceiling? Which end of the spectrum do you think he'll end up occupying? This is all part of a series of questions. So I'm gonna read all of these questions and talk about all three things. At OliFan1925, based on what you've seen so far, how would you rank Pritchard, Romeo, Nesmith? The question being best career arc in the NBA. And Yinan Bar Shara, I hope I got that name right. What can we realistically expect from Langford, Nesmith, and Pritchard for next season? Can we build on their internal improvement? So, lots about those guys. Romeo Langford, I think, can... the absolute floor for Romeo Langford would be a solid defender, a good defender who, if he never really improves his threes, I think that he can still be a slasher cutter type of guy, but that gets you what? Seventh, eighth man. his ceiling would be a guy who figures out his three-point shooting and can be a rotational wing, six-man, hell, maybe even a starter. But I think he does have that potential. He's a very dynamic offensive player in college, so there's no reason to think that he can't find some of that in the NBA, but it's also, who knows? So when you look at him and Nesmith and what can we expect, what are their career arcs going to be? So hard to say at this point, because Romeo is still basically a rookie, considering all of the time that he's missed. Nesmith just coming off a weird rookie season. Pritchard coming off a weird rookie season. Now, I think Pritchard has the highest floor because, you know, he came out last year and did it right away. I don't know that his ceiling is as high as some people think because he is still small and he is still prone to mistakes. But again, he was a rookie. So I don't want to put these guys in boxes yet. I want these guys to develop. I think there is room to build with their development. I think there is plenty of room to build. I think Romeo Langford and Aaron Nesmith especially can come in and have a strong potential of being very useful guys this year. And I don't care what happened last year. Last year was a weird, stupid season where games were condensed and piled on top of one another. A bunch of games got canceled and they just got jammed back into the schedule, causing a couple of four game and five night stretches. It just makes no sense to hold anything that Romeo Langford did against him. Because as I've said multiple times now on the podcast, he didn't get hurt again last season. He did not suffer any new injuries this past season. He just caught COVID when he was supposed to come back from a wrist surgery that happened from last season, the previous season. Aaron Nesmith went all of 2020 without playing basketball because he suffered an injury in college, and then there was the COVID shutdown. And then Pritchard has shown that he can be good, but he's also small and he can get picked on, especially in playoff matchups. So where are these guys going to fit? Where are they going to go? It's still so super early, but I do have hopes that they can show us something of substance. I believe in that possibility. Whether you do or not, I'm sorry, I'm not going to hold anything that happened this past season as gospel for anybody's future. That goes for Grant Williams. That goes for any young guy. It's just not fair to anybody to go for a season with that stupid schedule that had the short turnaround that cost people their off seasons, especially these rookies and second year players. I'm not painting them into a corner, putting them into a box, however you want to put it. I think that there's a potential for all of them to come out and show very noticeable improvement. James Chan asks, do you think the Celtics will keep Jabari Parker next season? If they do you believe he can be a key rotation guy? I thought he did a decent job this past season. Maybe with training camp and new coach, Jabari can have a positive impact. People have been saying that about Jabari for a while now. He hasn't. Now, I am the loudest preacher of situation matters. And so, look, keeping Jabari might be a very cheap way to fill an end-of-bench role, which means that he can still have some sort of impact if he's given a chance. Maybe under Udoka, maybe with playing off of Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart, he can be more productive. If he can find a more consistent role, maybe he plays himself into that. He's still a problem defensively, and that's going to cost him some opportunity. He's not going to be a good defender. I don't think he'll try sometimes, but I don't think he's going to be a good defender at all. So can he have a positive impact from here and there? I just don't think he's going to be a contributor. They may keep him, but I think he'll have as many DNPs as he has games where he's a difference maker. I'll just put it that way. I'll come back. Tons more questions to go. So I'm going to have a big, rapid fire finish to the show, including questions about Jan Madar, because everybody wants to ask about Jan Madar. Built Bar has a new flavor out there, Built Grasshopper Cookie. If you go to built.com, you don't even have to do builtbar.com anymore. Shortened it, built.com. Go check it out. It's basically a thin mint cookie in made into a protein bar. It's really, really good, and it's only available through the end of this week. This is the Friday show. This is when it runs out, so make sure you go to built.com to check it out. Now, these are great. They're 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar. You're really getting a great nutritional value from a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I love having these after a workout. It's great to get that protein in your body, but you know, calorically, you're not crushing all of the cardio that you just did. You're going to still get the benefits. They still have their regular rotation of flavors. They still have the options for people with nut allergies. They still are all great if you're on a keto diet. And if you go over to built.com right now, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. So it's built.com. You can still do Built Bar if you do it by habit. It's going to redirect. But built.com is the new website. Go check it out. Order the Grasshopper Cookie Bar. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off every order at built.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Back to fire through the rest of these questions from the mailbag. Again, appreciate you all sending the questions in. At Sutherland Aiden asks, are Patty Mills or Alec Burks viable options to sign in the offseason? And let me add this to a real John Dory's question. Am I asking too much when I want the Celtics to get veteran shooting? Re-signing Evan Fournier would be good, I think, but I also think one or two vets would be nice. Rose, Barnes, Gallo, Covington, Saric, are any of these guys or others? Well, okay, Saric just tore his ACL, so he's out. Some of these, Derrick Rose is going to probably stay in New York. Harrison Barnes, I don't think he's going to get traded, and the Celtics don't have a method to trade for him unless they're trading players, which I don't think they're going to do for Harrison Barnes. Gallinari, look, as much as he's had his moments for the Atlanta Hawks, I mean, he's basically painful to watch out there. I don't think you're going to really enjoy him on a daily basis. Patty Mills is possible, and for a, you know, I don't know if he's going to be veteran minimum or part of the taxpayer mid-level or all of the taxpayer mid-level. Same with Alec Burks. If he's going to be at all of the taxpayer mid-level, I mean, that's really, this is what's holding me back from saying, yes, this guy's possible. That yes, this guy's possible. Because they're going to be guys, they're going to be teams with money out there. And a team can go out there and say, we can give Alec Burks $7 million or $6 million or whatever. And it could be, they can offer him just enough more than the Celtics can. And he might say, okay, I'll take that money. It just depends on what he's willing to take. Patty Mills is an interesting case. Coming over with two of his, you know, former assistant coaches would be a natural fit. And depending on what money he'll take, it could help the Celtics with a shooter and, you know, a ball handler. So Mills would be an interesting option if Udoka can convince him. I don't know. I really just don't know what his market value is going to be. Because market values right now are all over the place. And it can be thrown off by any team that just says, hey, we'll take Patty Mills. Yeah, we'll overpay him a little bit for 1 year because we have the cap space. And, you know, we don't want Boston to get him. So, but those are decent options for shooting off of the bench. At Rational Celtics, the Rational Celtics fan, ask if Udoka can get Tatum and Brown to play through one another more often. Seems like that would be their best offense. I think they should play through one another more often. I think that Tatum and Brown should be sending picks for one another, either off ball or pick and rolls, pick and pops. I think that should happen a lot more often. The Celtics rarely did that. And only did that, I think, when they were facing a team that switched everything and were trying to get a favorable matchup. I don't know that the Celtics, I don't know what the Celtics are going to do now with Udoka, but I would hope that he does because I'd just like to see that a little bit. Because What do? Are you switching that? I mean, maybe you switch that, but those guys are smart enough to beat those switches. And I don't know how another team does that. I would say switching is probably the best chance that they have, because I assume that there are similar sized defenders and those are similar sized players. So there would be some, you know, some value to the defense saying, yeah, we're just going to switch that and whatever, we'll be fine. But I think that they should try it. And I want to see that a little bit more often, because I think it does force defenses into a decision. Carl Carlson asks, what would you deem a suitable return for Tristan Thompson? I'm going to fold in Brad Lessard's question. Could you see a trade framework of Larry Nance Jr. to Boston, Thompson to the Clippers, Luke Kennard to Cleveland being a realistic one? There would have to be some additional assets in the trade, but I'm not exactly sure how to allocate them, i.e. would the Clippers see Thompson as a positive asset? Well, I think a suitable return for Tristan Thompson is really cap space, just cap space I'm fine with, or a reclamation project. I think that's all I'm going to expect from Tristan Thompson. So Larry Nance Jr. in a scenario where you get you get him for giving up Tristan Thompson, I don't know that that works. I can see the thinking behind it. The Clippers need a big man to help, and they're kind of stuck. They're desperate. Maybe Thompson to the Clippers could work, but I'm just so low on Tristan Thompson right now that I don't think we should expect anything. So I don't think getting any kind of return like that is something that we should expect. Also, I don't think Larry Nance Jr. is available. And if he is, it's going to have to be a deal that Cavs fans are going to have to be like, oh yeah, well, of course you have to make that deal, because they love him in Cleveland. He's a hometown guy. He likes playing there. No one wants that relationship to end except people on the outside trying to trade for him. I don't think that he's available. And if he is, it's going to take like maybe two first round picks, and I'm not going to give that up. Don Massaroni asks, has Marcus Smart hit his ceiling? Should we trade him this offseason? I'm not going to say that anybody's hit their ceiling. I know that Marcus Smart doesn't look like there's much more to his game. Like, he hasn't improved his game overall to like Jaylen Brown has, right? He hasn't added a ton to his game. I think if you want to say he's hit his ceiling as far as he's not adding new tricks to his bag, right? Like, I don't think he's adding anything special to his offensive repertoire. So if you want to kind of say he is what he is, in a sense, I understand that. But he's also young enough where there could be something that gets added to his game. So, I think the improvements that we'll see from Marcus Smart would be in his shooting numbers, when his role, I believe that a more consistent role will improve his shooting numbers. And I think that that's going to allow him to be more palatable on offense for a lot of people who are criticizing him. So should they trade him this offseason? Not just to trade him. Like, I don't think he's a guy that you just move to say, yep, time to move Marcus Smart and see what we can get for him. No, he's still extraordinarily valuable for this team and extraordinarily valuable to other teams in the league. So the only trade that you use him for is to get somebody bigger in here, and you need his salary to aggregate. Paul Seabrook asks, how likely is it the Celtics will use the trade exceptions they have? I think they'll use a couple of them. I think most of them are probably just going to go away. They may use the remainder of the Hayward one. They may take advantage of the one created by the Kemba Walker trade, because that's something that was, I don't want to say unexpected, but I don't think that's why they made that deal. But hey, look, you get a $9 million trade exception, and sure, why not? The Poirier one's going to go away. The Cantor one, I'd be surprised if they use $4.7 million. They didn't trade him to create that exception. They traded him to clear the spot. The exception was just a byproduct. So I don't think that's going to work. The $5 million Daniel Tice one probably will not be used. I'm sorry, the Kemba Walker one, I guess, is 6.8. So one of those might be used. That one, the Tice or the Cantor, like I would say maybe one of those, but not all of those. The Gordon Hayward one, $11 million, I think they'll try to, and then that's it. So they have what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six traded player exceptions. Maybe they use two, and the rest expire. And if you want to criticize the Celtics for that, most traded player exceptions expire without being used. That's not something that happens very, very often. So it's usually a byproduct of something. So that's what I expect. At Yinon Bar, what do you know about Jan Madar? Do you think he can earn a two-way contract? Well, I'm going to have a big piece on Jan Madar on Boston Sports Journal on Friday. What I know about him is he's a high-energy guy. I talked to a draft analyst who called him the Israeli Patrick Beverley, which seems almost insulting in a way, but he's an irritant. He's an agitator, and that's a compliment. But he's also, unlike Beverley, has developed a jump shot, and that was the biggest criticism of Madar. He shot 40% in the Israeli league from three. That's great. His passing can be exceptional. He has a good feel for the game. He made some really flashy passes, some really great pocket passes off pick and rolls. So he knows how to throw the pass. He's developed that jump shot. He's a tenacious defender. He attacks. He's high energy. So he has all the tools that when you look at the film, especially those highlight reels, you go, oh, wow, wow, yeah. What about this guy? He's 6'3", so he's got some size for a point guard. Not a ton, but he's not 5'9 either, right? So he's thin, but he can fill out. He's only 20. He'll turn 21 in December. So he'll come to Summer League, and we'll get a little firsthand look at him. My questions are, how does he respond to NBA competition? Because the Israeli League competition, I mean, it's good, but it's not great. The example I use is Brad Wanamaker, who, if you look at his pro resume outside of the NBA, is amazing. He made two All-Star teams in two separate leagues, so four-time All-Star. He's got an MVP. He's got two Finals MVPs. You look at all of the stuff that he accomplished overseas in some of those leagues, is amazing what Brad Wanamaker did. And you look at Brad Wanamaker in the NBA and you're like, oh, so there's a significant drop off in the talent. So I don't know that what we see in Israel is going to translate directly to the NBA. But however, he's young, he's high energy, he works hard, and he's got the fundamentals. So I think that he's in Boston right now. I believe he's going through workouts with the Celtics. He's going to get a look in Summer League. And if they think that he's ready, then yeah, he can come in. I don't think they should do a two-way contract. He's either here or he's not. So, but if he's available and they think he's good enough, then he should be good enough and they should give him a contract. If he's not, then don't bother with the two-way thing. Send him back overseas. There's a team in Serbia now that is interested in him. That's going to be a tough team. It's the league where Nikola Jokic came from. And go out there and play against those big, tough Central European guys with tree trunk legs and go take your lumps out there and see what you can do in that league. Let him develop out there one more year, then come back and sign him next year. Could it be a Marcus Smart replacement if they let Smart go? Maybe, but it's so hard to tell. I know everybody's excited about Jan Madar, but it's very hard to tell right now. But he's got a lot of intriguing tools. At Jovian Shadow wants to know, what are your predictions for the Olympic tournament? Who are Team USA's most dangerous opponents? And he attached a full prediction. Now, I'm going to take your word for it because I haven't really been following a lot of these other teams. The USA is in a group with the Czech Republic, France, and Iran. France, I think, is going to be their toughest just historically, France is very good. So that's going to be a tough opponent. In Group B, it's Australia, Germany, Italy, and Nigeria. Australia seems to be the tough team there. And in Group C, Argentina, Japan, Spain, Slovenia. That is Spain. And Argentina is historically good, but Jovian says that they're not. So I'm just looking historically, Spain, Australia, France. I think France is going to be the biggest obstacle to the U.S. in Group A. But, I mean, how can I go against Team USA? I think they're going to be interesting. So I think I'll put it this way. I hope that it's tough for Team USA. I hope that it's very difficult because that's just better for Jason Tatum. So, but obviously my pick is going to be the United States to win gold. Let's finish up with Chip Douglas. I love this question. Do you think the NBA would ever adopt a hockey-style penalty system, i.e. 2 minutes for flopping and 5 minutes for unnecessary blood check, etc.? I love it. Now, obviously, it won't be 2 minutes because it's a little different than hockey, but you can do a possession with, you know, if you commit a foul, then if you sat out a possession, then sure. Or if you committed a flagrant foul, you sat out a possession or an amount of time. They will never do this. They will never do this. So to answer your question, no. But would I love to see it? Yes, I would. You know, you commit a foul on the play. All right. You know, instead of shots, if it's a shooting foul, okay, no problem. Sit out the rest of the play. You play 5-on-4. So you don't bog the play down. You don't have to, you know, maybe get free throws, maybe not. And then who knows? Who knows how that goes? Maybe they do something different down the stretch. I don't know. But I would love to see it. And a flagrant foul, maybe it's a time thing. You're out for, you know, one full trip, 45 seconds, 1 minute, whatever. However they want to do it. I'd love to see it. It won't happen. Thank you for all the questions, everybody. It's been great. Very happy that everybody is watching and listening to the show. If you have the opportunity to subscribe, please subscribe wherever you can. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's blowing up, and I love to have more people. If you're watching it and you're new, subscribe so you can get this. It's a Monday through Friday podcast, 5 days a week, all throughout the season. It's a regular thing. I don't just do this just because. This is my job. I do this Monday through Friday. So subscribe to get this directly to your YouTube channel, to your YouTube page. Comment below, all of that great stuff. Share the podcast. Tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.